With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Back, run like a wild man.
I watched you struggle and I watched you wrestle with them angels.
Here he is, from Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
The correct turn here, stadium time is 8:27 p.m. Central Standard Time. Your digital audio device is tuned into the Orange and True podcast, harbored by collegeandmagnolia.com. Greetings and salutations, Orange and Truthers. I am Son of Crow, at Son of Crow 2 on Twitter, at Son of Crow on Venmo. Call me Drew Croson, at Son of Crow, that's me. To one side of me, the rumor monger, Ryan Starrett, Ryan S. Starrett on Twitter. The S is for, so now what do we do?
Isn't it nice when the recruiting shenanigans go our way?
And to the other side of me, giving you full Fort Payne, ASMR. A man who's driving in his car, living like a star, ice on his fingers and his toes, and he's a tourist. The AU chief.
Guten Tag, guten Abend, and...
Yeah, guten Abend.
Guten Morgen, depending on when you're listening to this.
Yeah. You can say guten Tag almost all day.
Yeah, it's a good day.
Guten Abend is my favorite to say.
Guten Abend, good evening.
Yeah. And guten Nacht is like good night, but it really is just you're going to sleep.
Or auf Wiedersehen, right?
Auf Wiedersehen. That's just goodbye.
Yeah.
On today's show, we don't have a lot of show notes, which means we're going to be riding screenless.
Yeah.
We're going to be going raw on this podcast streets.
Man.
Can't wait to do it. Yeah. Can't wait. You never forget when you get to feel what it feels like with no show notes.
Mm-hmm. So does pretending to be... Is pretending to be the Auburn men's basketball account and then tweeting at recruits still count as tweeting at recruits?
I'm convinced that dude is a interactive theater art piece. And he's kind of like when Ryan...
Auburn Twitter Shia LaBeouf?
Yeah, like Shia LaBeouf. Or what's the other dude's name that was in that North Korea movie? The movie about North Korea with Seth Rogen.
James Franco.
Yeah. When James Franco would just do weird stuff just to do it. Like when when Joaquin Phoenix made a whole movie about him wanting to become a rapper.
Right, that was...
That's what this dude's doing. Because the art of it is, he's pointing out how stupid it is that men's basketball accounts will tweet some nonsense about an event that has something to do with them.
I think he's trying to do that. But he did it stupidly because he... You don't do that and try to trick people into thinking you are the actual account.
Like, and you then tweet you don't do that it using
as your own account.
An assassination of a civil rights leader.
Yeah.
But what, like remember in Florida State, not a joke, literally put up like a picture of Martin Luther King wearing Florida State gloves last year on this day?
Yeah, I saw one recruits? Today of Nike and... Alabama tweeting something with their logos on a Martin Luther King quote.
Guys, we've got to tread pretty lightly. We don't want to accuse anybody of being racist on this podcast.
Well, we know we are not racist, at least. Yeah. That's all we know. Yeah. I don't know about anybody
else. As we record this, it is the celebration of Martin Luther King Jr. Day. His birthday was several days ago.
And people can't really accuse me of taking lacrosse seriously. I married a girl whose school won the national championship for lacrosse. So we're big DU Pius fans. Exactly. I have lacrosse friends.
We were going to read a prepared statement.
We were not going to read a prepared statement.
We didn't prepare a statement.
Sorry if you like lacrosse and were offended by the statement.
Crow's the one that...
it was really mean. And I'm very, I actually enjoy watching lacrosse. But I've also interacted with some lacrosse bros that were less than...
I've interacted with lacrosse parents.
And besides, between lacrosse bros and college baseball players, there's a lot of really cool people that I've had to interact with. But
all right, before we get ourselves into further trouble, let's move on.
Speaking of college baseball players, Auburn baseball started the preseason ranking pretty darn high, I saw. And that's all I know about Auburn baseball.
Top 10 program.
We're 8, and we're like the 6th team in the SEC, right?
Yeah.
Woo!
Let's hope they don't start off their top 10 ranking by losing 2 games in a row.
There is only one team, one
conference. Well, you can do that in baseball. It won't affect your ranking.
There's one conference in America that has figured out that you can actually make money off college baseball, and it just so happens to be the conference that has like 7 teams in the top 10.
Yeah.
The rest of the conferences are shuttering their programs because nowhere else in the world do people go watch this product.
Yeah.
It's not...
Young people don't play
Not this. Many other places in the world is it comfortable to watch this product in February either.
That's true. But this NCAA's got a huge problem on its hands in terms of how do we keep it from being a team out of the SEC versus a team from California every single year?
Well, that's all it ever is.
Yeah, I mean, like the Big 12 plays the sport, I think.
Yeah, make it your odd.
The Big 10 plays the sport.
You have to be below the Mason-Dixon line, or
Well, didn't the Big 10 have a team in the
West of the Mississippi
Final Four?
Louisville was
Michigan.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and the Michigan was there.
How did that happen?
Because they recruited...
They play indoor baseball?
No, they recruited a bunch of kids from inner city. They were doing a really good job recruiting to that school. Because there's not a lot of baseball in Michigan.
They could just build indoor baseball stadiums up there.
Man, that'd be rad.
Probably start dominating.
Like the Japanese league style.
Yeah, they could just play basketball, which they're pretty good at up there.
Yeah. But they don't care. And, I mean, baseball in general... Anyway, I'm not going to talk about baseball on this podcast.
Well, we are going to talk about Tim Hudson being the new pitching coach.
Yeah.
Borderline Hall of Famer. May not get in, but still pretty cool when he's your unpaid assistant.
It's pretty stupid that he has to be unpaid, but also
what
a silly rule. And that's another reason why the conference continues to dominate and the other conferences can't, is the other conferences don't want to have to try to pay
a third coach
because they literally cannot do it.
Yeah.
They are not making enough money off ticket sales to pay a third coach.
Yeah. But Auburn can bring in Tim Hudson with already a handful of guys. Probably they're going to be going in the draft or getting their shot in the minor leagues. So I'm a big Braves fan, so this is cool for me.
Yeah, I mean, that's
it is. Tim Hudson was my first jersey. So.
I'm a big Moneyball A's fan.
Wasn't Olsen a GA or something last year while he was in school?
Maybe they're trying some stuff like that because, Huddy just came back to school. Maybe he's a GA.
Yeah. I mean that. I think he was already around the program a lot too.
Well, yeah, so he only lives like 30 minutes from here.
Yeah.
I always think of Tim Hudson as a San Francisco.
He's in Phoenix City.
No, he lives in Auburn.
All that property, I thought was in Phoenix City.
No, he lives like out on what you call it?
On Farmville?
No, not Farmville.
You guys missed my San Francisco Giant Tim Hudson joke.
Sorry. It's okay. Yeah, he lives in town.
Okay, Phoenix City's close enough to being in town.
I mean, he's from Phoenix.
I mean, he is. If anything, he's an Oakland Athletic because he was drafted by them twice.
Twice? Was he drafted out of them out of high school?
35th round in 94 and then the 6th round in 97.
I didn't know they drafted him in 94.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
Yeah.
More you know.
And a Cy Young winner with the A's.
Yep. He might make the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Will he wear a Braves hat or an A's hat?
Both.
Can wear both. One in the Hall of Fame.
So they let some people do two things.
Yeah, usually if you're between two, you don't wear either.
Yeah. Or they just put like an MLB hat on
put,
you.
Put
the Rob Lowe hat.
The Rob Lowe hat.
Oh my god, that Rob Lowe hat.
I want to go to the SEC Championship next year and I'm just wearing an SEC hat. Because I know I'd get on TV. Or just an NCAA hat. Just to see people be like, who's this narc? The NCAA hat on? They were selling that crap at the Final Four.
Yeah,
Chief knows. They're selling NCAA hats and sweaters. Who is buying that?
Leaders of true
Rob Lowe. Rob Lowe is
like really ineffective governing bodies that
we had a police. We added another person to the staff, and it's a former player, and I can't remember his name at the moment.
Frank Thomas.
Dan Gamache.
Yes. Thank you.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, Dan Gamache. Yeah.
So there's a bunch of former Auburn baseball players getting jobs. It's Damon Hacker got a job on the Ole Miss softball team.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. That was interesting. That was very interesting. softball starts soon, too.
Yeah.
It starts sooner than baseball.
We should record a podcast from the Jane B. Moore softball
team. Oh, that'd be...
Blink!
Several games there.
Or from the... We never recorded our soccer podcast from the soccer.
I know. Soccer just blew... Oh, we need to talk about that.
Brief fold.
This is a soccer podcast.
This is an Auburn soccer... This is the only Auburn soccer podcast in existence that we recognize. This is the only one that has had Kieran Hoppe on that I know of.
Yeah.
And it's the first...
Stand by that.
...that's going to say Brief Folds. They called her Brianna Folds, which I'm sure it's her real name, but yeah, Brief Folds drafted to the North Carolina Courage. Up the Courage.
Defending champs.
Defending champs, who I believe have one Alex Morgan on their team. If I'm...
Is that right?
That so we're all right. Courage fans now?
Yeah, they move around a lot. That's the thing. Yeah, Courage.
Up the Courage. I don't know if that's what they actually said. So they would say if they were British.
Yeah.
Up the Courage.
Yeah, I don't know. We had someone else get drafted, or drafted, sign a professional, quote-unquote, deal. Let me look. It's
current squad. They've got, you know her, Kaylee Kurtz.
Yeah.
From the U.S. Women's National Team. They've got Kristen Hamilton, Crystal Dunn.
Oh, yeah. That's
she can flat out play. Yeah, that's a really good team. They got Debinha from Brazil. She can play forward.
Speaking of another former Auburn athlete that is a professional athlete now, Horace Spencer.
Oh, yeah.
25 rebounds.
Yeah.
Well, okay, let's be real.
17 points.
Well, yeah, what was more surprising to you, 17 points from Horace or 25 rebounds?
I mean, he is the Dennis Rodman of the Auburn basketball program.
Sure, I was once told that.
So the 17 points. Because Dennis Rodman, I'm not sure he ever scored 17 points in his entire life. So. Mm-hmm. No, that was impressive. And then I did notice that there was someone that was at least 45 years old guarding him in the picture.
Easily.
Well, which, good on Horace, because that guy's got old man strength, and it's hard to score against.
Horace has dad strength.
That's true. That's true.
I'm just looking at the...
Horace having a great time down there in Argentina. He's working hard.
Malik's having a good time over in Germany.
Malik's doing it.
Hit a game winner, I think?
No, it was just a buzzer beater at the end of the third quarter. But it was classic Malik.
Yeah, he's still terrible. That is
classic Malik. Have you taken that and made it into a GIF yet for classic Malik?
I haven't. I have the videos now.
Some German followers looking for that site now.
Well, we have at least one using the hashtag Classic Malik, thanks to Will, who has befriended this fellow. We did have one other soccer lady sign with a quote-unquote professional team. It's Luz FC. They are a non-league outfit over in England.
L-E-W-E-S. Luz FC.
Yeah, I looked this up. They do have a sponsorship deal with, what is that, Daba? The one that looks like the mud flap?
She,
yeah, that's Kappa.
Kappa, that's right.
She's wearing a Atlanta United kit. Five straps I can hold on there.
Yeah, Atlanta United, if Atlanta United existed in 1994.
Yeah.
That's what this kit looks like.
They play in an arena called the Dripping Pan.
Yeah. They are non-league, which is, for those listening, is more or less a semi-pro type situation.
Yeah, that's their men's team. Is their women's team non-league?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I don't know.
I would assume.
I'm more on the North Carolina store.
Well, this
current storefront. I'm trying to find.
Actually, she's probably not making a living wage, just to be honest, because she is not a U.S. women's national team.
They'll pay her enough to she might not have to substitute teach.
She might get some sponsorship.
And
deals
some good ASMR there.
That was good. And the hats are dope. If
the
you
courage?
Want a, yeah, if you want a sweet hat that also supports an Auburn Tiger, go get you a New Era.
We'll see.
NCFC Star snapback or a North Carolina Courage two-time champion
star
T-shirt. Okay. Two stars.
I like the shirt there. It's nice.
The jerseys are cool. You can't buy them though. You can buy a T-shirt that has the jersey. You can buy a jersey, but you can't buy a jersey. Because I would buy a jersey and get it customized to put folds on the back, for sure. And I'd wear it to the Auburn
people
soccer
think
complex.
It was Ben. You'd have to be a number five,
right? People would think
Ryan
who's
Ben
this
Folds
weirdo?
And the Ben Folds Five were a group that sang a song about
she's a brick and I'm drowning slowly.
Anyway,
sure,
it's a great song.
It's a great song.
Jack, toss that in here.
I don't know if he can do that.
I don't think we can clear that.
Oh, we don't have any show notes, you guys. I don't know if you can tell. Yeah.
Oh, we've got some show notes.
Before we get... not really. I had like 2 minutes to do it.
I was sitting here while Ryan wrote the show notes.
I haven't pulled them up yet. I don't know if you can tell.
All right.
Well, before we get into actual this week in basketball discussion, do you want to take a commercial break?
Yeah, take a quick commercial break.
Yeah. This is brought to you by Vox. Some Vox podcast that you might have heard of before.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, and we're back. Last week, Auburn lost two heartbreaking basketball games. Not heartbreaking because they were close, because, Lord, they were not close. Auburn got drilled by Alabama and Florida in a Tony Barbie-ish lack of competitive nature in those games.
This is what happened. Tony Barbie got to coach in a game this
week. Oh, my God.
Through the whole ghost mojo.
He's back.
Tony Barbie energy is back in the...
It reverberated through the SEC. I didn't even think about that. You felt the disturbance in the force.
Bad time
feeling I haven't felt in a long time.
Yeah, these were... This was as bad as... Well, not both of them. The Alabama game was not... I don't know. There were way more turnovers. They were sloppier. But that Florida game...
Florida game was bad because it was just... We couldn't do anything.
Like, there was nothing we could... We couldn't do anything right. We couldn't hit a shot. And it's not like we were... I mean, I guess we were cold. I wouldn't call us cold. We were just...
Mm-hmm.
When we got good looks, they wouldn't... They would go in and out. Like, it was just... it was a real bad thing. And I have to be honest. I know we're just jumping ahead of game. But that game, even though we were only down 5, I felt worse about that outcome of that game, down 5 at halftime, than I did down 9 to Alabama, because Florida had played so bad in the first half of that game, and we could not get back in it.
Florida was playing horrible.
I mean, we were still really down bad. We were down 5.
Yeah. But we were playing so poorly. Auburn has shot like a combined 28% over the last two games.
31% against Bama and 26% against Florida.
26% in a men's college basketball game in 2020.
Yeah.
This is it's unbelievable. I can't imagine a team shooting that poorly. At least against Florida, we made our free throws. Good God, if we had shot our normal free throw percentage against Florida, we would have gotten beat by 50. But we were like 11 for 11 at halftime.
That's all the offense we had for a long stretch.
We did finish 15 of 21, so second half wasn't great.
Yeah, we leveled out, and that's why we got blown out. Yeah.
There was one player that scored double digits in that game for us. The man who didn't start, D'Angelo Purifoy.
Yeah, it's only D'Angelo.
That's amazing, because I did not like his game against Florida or against Alabama.
Well, against Florida, he was 3 for 11. So
against Alabama, he was extremely emotional. Like, he was pressing in that game to an extent that's probably why he wasn't starting against Florida.
Yeah,
because it was too much. Like, it was just he was talking to the fans too much. You can talk to the fans when we're up by 10.
Yeah.
We're down 20. Right.
Just
get it to go. Yeah, get some baskets to go in. And that's it. Like, don't worry about anything else.
Florida, you just felt awful for him, because he had at least 5 buckets. Go down the cylinder and just pop right back out. And I don't know how you explain that. They were good shots. They were good looks. And they just...
We're an inconsistent... I think it was Justin Ferguson on Twitter. Like, it's an inconsistent shooting team.
Yeah.
That when you have an inconsistent shooting team, some games look like this.
I think these two games have come down to Samir Dowdy's inability to score 3.
Yeah.
He's lost his touch. And I'm not, like, this is not me saying Samir sucks and this is all his fault. It's just he's hit a spell where
he's the emotional leader of the offense.
Right.
So he is, in the last two games, he's 5 of 23.
Yeah. And he made an and-1 against Alabama, and he literally looked at the bench and was like, I'm back. I got this. So you know it's in his head that he can't make shots.
15 of those 23 were layups.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
he's not taking a bunch of threes.
No.
Against Florida, he took 7 threes.
But. He hit two, right?
Yeah, trying to get back seven in the game. And 1 of 5 on two.
1 of 5 on two?
All out of the basket.
Yeah.
Two, turnovers.
Two of nine from two.
He's getting there. He's getting there exactly like he had been all year. It's just the touch is just not there. It's like going off the top of the backboard. Yeah. And it's
if we could make competitive entry passes to Austin Wayne, then I would feel a lot better about that. Because Austin is a guaranteed trip to the line or 2 points. Because he's turning the ball over at a pretty big rate. Not as big a rate as the rest of the team against Alabama and Florida. But he's also getting to the free throw line, and he's averaging still over a point a shot attempt, which is nuts. So, for a guy who doesn't shoot threes. So, if we just keep figuring him the ball, but we can't get him the ball.
Right.
And it isn't like they're defending him with double teams in fronts. Auburn just cannot throw entry passes. I don't know what the deal is with that. Like, two guys can do it. Well, Coro's shown some
ability. The thing I've noticed most of the year is it looks like they feel like they have to telegraph it to Austin.
Maybe.
And the defenders are seeing it.
And also, how many turnovers against both Florida and Alabama came down to just lazy passes in the backcourt? Like Samir and Dangelo throwing just a lackadaisical pass to one another.
Or
gets picked off.
We're down a bunch on the road and we're trying like behind the back or like some crazy like over the head stuff. And it's like, I get that at home because it gets the crowd into it. But on the road, let's keep it simple.
It's like they were running that offense like they were in practice.
The thing is, against Alabama, we were still getting looks.
Yeah,
and they couldn't finish.
But they were scoring off turnover, so who cares? Like it was like
right.
Even
but,
if Auburn,
but if had, Auburn is scoring at the basket,
we didn't have that many turnovers.
At the worst,
Florida.
That's an even game.
We cleaned the turnovers up against Florida.
We only had 8 turnovers against Florida. Samir had 20. 7 against Bama.
Yeah,
we had 21 total turnovers and 31 fouls.
Guys, 21 turnovers.
Both of your guards
fell
out.
Insane.
I would be surprised if we don't see a like back to basics approach against South Carolina.
We can't get any more basic than the offense we run.
We run one of the simplest
offenses in America. Just,
I feel like
if you're not scoring an open look,
be like, hey, let's not try to throw an oop here if we don't have to.
The problem is we have to.
Oh, I know.
The alley oop is such a huge part of this team's game. Like.
We only tried to throw one against Florida.
And Anthony missed it.
Ugh, man.
Well, Samir just shorted the to Wyatt. Yeah, maybe it was against Bama or Florida. I don't remember. That was 3 feet over his head.
Oh, threw it over the basket.
Close.
The alley-oop is a huge part of Bruce Pearl's offense. And he has guys that can usually catch and dunk him.
But the passes aren't clear.
And the passes are horrible. Yeah. The passing has been...
Yeah.
I would say, if I had to put it on one aspect of Auburn's game, it's not even really shooting as bad as we've been shooting. We can't pass.
Yeah, I haven't talked to my dad after these last two games, but I'm sure he is extremely upset with our pass.
I thought we have a combined 12 assists.
But as a big, his emphasis, 15, my dad
combined 15
as a little league basketball
such
coach,
garbage.
Because you know kids can't shoot, and his like one point of emphasis was passing. He was like you're going to be the best passer of anybody you know. And I'm like, okay.
I mean that's a huge part of the fundamentals. Like, I don't want to be. I'm a coach guy on Twitter because that guy sucks. But Auburn does not have good passing habits. And it's
I think they're getting exploited right now. What bugs me
is that
we're lazy with our passes.
Javon does. He doesn't really give up many turnovers.
No.
On bad passes, at least.
Right.
He might get picked.
Samir does and Dangelo for sure.
Yeah, a lot of our turnovers are coming from guys who shouldn't be trying to make the passes they're making. So
the ball should go into. We talked about this on the slide. Any possession at this point that does not go into Isaac Okoro's hand
is a wasted
possession.
This is his team. It has to be his team.
So I would say Austin Wiley and Isaac Okoro, if you get the ball across half court and one of those two guys is not the next guy to touch the ball, that's a wasted possession.
Yeah.
Because right now, those are your only two guys that are consistently making the shots. And the only two guys who are consistently going to the basket and consistently getting to the rim and consistently getting to the free throw line. So anytime we cross half court, if you see the ball go to Dangelo first or to Samir first, just know we wasted this entire possession.
Yeah.
We have wasted these 30 seconds trying some other nonsense
that is
trying to get somebody else
that
to
score. That is until Samir gets over whatever's going on right now.
But even when Samir throws it into Isaac at the high post, And then Isaac can kick it back out.
Yeah.
Just by letting Isaac touch the ball.
Yeah.
People makes the defense move, and now somebody else is open.
Yeah.
But going this stuff, we're past the ball around the perimeter or nonsense. We aren't that team anymore. We can't do that.
That's it. And we don't have anyone that we can rely on for instant offense. There's nobody there.
There's no shooters.
Yeah.
We have to be bully ball, old school, get the ball at the rim, which is not effective.
We didn't play bad defense in either one of these games.
The three-point shot is the way to win basketball games in 2020. We don't have it.
Florida only scored 69 points, and that's because they hit like four threes at the end of the game. So we're not playing bad defense. No. We're just not doing anything with the defense.
But the defense is, you can't expect to hold every team to 50.
Right. We've got to get...
Auburn has to score 70 points.
We've got to turn people over and score off those turnovers. Like, directly off the turnovers, not set up an offense.
That's our whole... Our game plan's got to now be defense to offense.
Yeah.
God, it's a tough place to be.
It is. It's a tough place to be. I mean, we can get out of it. It's not. We'll play better at home. I saw some people getting into it on Twitter about someone claimed that these would have been wins at home. I don't think you can say they would have been wins at home. We may have won at home. Playing at home, we're just better.
Against Alabama, maybe only because there was so much of this.
I just think we're beating them there. Well, we haven't beaten Florida in Gainesville since
Florida. That team
that's turning into the basketball version of LSU.
I just think we are a better team at home.
Sure.
But I don't think you can say we'll definitely win these games.
And if Auburn wins only its home games from here on out, it's still a tournament team.
These were the two of the three best teams we've played all year.
Yeah.
Which
St. Louis is still the best team we've played all year.
It's Mississippi State.
It was St. Louis going to that
Mississippi
game.
Mississippi State, then Alabama. Mississippi State, then Florida.
Are we including Florida?
No, Florida's now above Mississippi State.
Hang on. I'm looking at it here.
Yeah.
16. Florida, right. Mississippi State, Alabama, then NC State.
Yeah.
And then, everybody else is.
What did I think? St. Louis lost to Dayton.
St. Louis is 84.
They lost to Dayton, so they dropped.
So does everybody.
Look.
They actually played Dayton really well.
Yeah, they almost beat them.
Well, I wanted to say this about the Alabama game. I mentioned it on Twitter, and I told you guys that I wanted to talk about it. Bruce got out-coached for about 5 minutes in that game.
Yeah.
And that's really what killed us more than just as much the turnovers. What Alabama decided to do is something you see a lot of teams in the NBA do now, which Auburn, for some reason, was deciding to switch on every screen.
Yeah.
So Alabama said, great, we've got the fastest guy on the court. What we're going to do is we're going to make them set screens that's going to draw Austin Wiley to the top of the key, a 5-1 screen. So we're going to run a 5-1 pick and roll, and now Austin Wiley is switching onto the fastest guy on the court.
Yeah, and he's not in the lane. That guy's going to go right around.
And now he's not in the lane. So even if we needed to put Anfernee on the floor eventually, and we did, and stopped a massive run, but there were like four or five times down the court in a row. Yep. All right, 5-1 pick and roll. Get Austin up top. Get your rim protector out of the rim.
Should have called a timeout this next possession.
Yeah, because we could not. Or Austin should have just said, look, I'm not switching.
That's why I said we just need to be cowards and play zone. No, that's what I said during
the... If Austin just doesn't switch.
Yeah, right.
Now, Kyler's not hitting threes. So, you go on. So, Javon, whoever's guarding him, go underneath that
the
screen.
The thing we did in that game is we said that John Petty's not going to beat us, and then Kyra Lewis beat us. Like, that's
what it's happened. Almost like someone on this dadgum podcast said we can't defend that dude, and then we couldn't defend that dude.
I think if we had focused on him more than we did Petty, then maybe we would win that game.
Yeah. But we didn't put an aura on Lewis the whole game.
This happened.
But I think they may have been looking at the same numbers Ryan had looked at and said, oh, well, this kid's not going to beat us.
And so this is not the first time that the team's best scorer has had a way better night against us. Neesmith didn't do much of anything, but Saban Lee did.
Yep.
Kerry Lewis had a huge game, and John Petty didn't.
Yep.
Blackshear had 11 points.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a trend.
And then
Payne
scored a gazillion.
So the number two scorer for every team is just blowing up.
You know, Payne was 100% shooting.
99.
That's because as good as Okoro is, our number two defender is not as good. But the difference with Kerry Lewis is like speed kills. Because now you've got a guy under the basket that you have to switch.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? You left somebody else open. And It wasn't, he wasn't scoring a ton of points at the rim that was killing us. What he was killing us with was we were getting out of position. So now he's able to find open looks, and those guys were making shots. Yeah. Yeah. It was horrible.
Yeah, and I think our bench is slowly getting exposed in these games. Our bench is just not that good.
Especially not making baskets.
We have Anfernee's yeah. great.
But again, he's playing starter minutes. So if you consider...
Yes, right. He's really a starter. Consider the other six stars. Flan is okay.
But he has very limited offensive game.
Right. Cambridge, huge liability. Just huge liability. I think he's tenacious on defense. I don't think he's that good.
He makes plays. At least Cambridge is a playmaker. We don't have a lot of those guys on the team.
I don't think he's made a play against a good team.
Well, maybe not. But he makes plays.
The PER of the guys on the bench, it's Alan Flanagan at 7.9, Devin Cambridge at 9.1. Oof.
That's
Jamal Johnson at 16.1, which is better than...
That's because he hit the...
Because he hits threes.
Fourth. No, really, he's had two games where he's hit threes.
He's been like a 40% third person.
I like Jamal Johnson. I think we need more out of Jamal Johnson. If I would have Bruce...
I think he's maybe not that good on defense.
Well, I would have fired Bruce at some point. I would have put Samir on the bench and put Jamal Johnson in the game a little bit more.
So he's actually got a better PER than D'Angelo and
J. I'm surprised Bruce let Samir play as many minutes as he did against Alabama. Because
I think they're trying to make him... Play through it.
What else are you going
to
do?
Because we don't have anybody else that can get to the rim like he can. Like, not even Javon's as good at getting the rim as Samir is.
No, Javon, that was the thing with him, is he got all kinds of shots blocked in these two games.
Yeah.
He's a finisher at the rim. Like, even the announcer was talking about how that Bruce had told him even more than Jared, he trusts Javon to finish at the rim. That's true. Jared wasn't the greatest rim finisher. He is now.
He's just
all of a sudden.
His thing is, and it's probably helping him in the G League right now, he's just quicker than everybody else. So he just gets by them and gets the rim.
Whereas Javon can actually body a guy, bounce off of him, and make a nice shot. But guys are defending him with the rim. And part of that's because we're not clearing out enough space. We don't want any ISO for Javon. And that's just you're going to end up with a crowded lane.
I think the thing that's... sums up both of these games. They were just both really sloppy. We cleaned up the turnovers against Florida, but everything
shooting got any worse.
It was just sloppy.
It's like, the good part about it is we all knew, most of us knew, that what we had been doing in those 15 games was not going to work in the SEC.
No.
And I know Bruce
it worked those first two games, and so maybe we were just like, well, man, I was kind of like, well, maybe it's going to be okay.
Now you're, what are we, 2-2 in conference?
3-2.
3-2, that's right. So now you're 3-2 in conference, and you have an opportunity to do a hard reset.
Yeah.
And go, okay, what did work? Because some things did work.
Luckily, we're back at home for two games.
Two very winnable games.
So let's make, they get two games, get Samir some confidence back. Is he hurt? Is he not hurt? I've heard both that he's hurt and both that he's not hurt at all.
I've got it on good authority that he's not hurt.
So it's just all mental.
Yeah.
But how is it all mental? What happened to him in his life?
Get the ups, man. Hopefully it's not a full-blown case and he'll be fine. He'll just... People go through slumps.
Yeah.
Bryce went through a slump.
Ooh, that's for sure.
A couple times in his career here.
Bryce went through a slump last year here.
Right.
Whole team and Jared did it at points too. After Jared missed that game winner layup, maybe game tire, I don't remember, against Kentucky at home, mm-hmm. those games after that were not pretty.
Yeah.
For the whole team.
And just when we thought D'Angelo had figured it all out again, he's back. I mean, did he score double digits in both of these games?
I know he had 10 against Florida.
Took a lot of shots against Alabama. So yeah. I don't know if he... but, you know, if we can get guys back to playing like we know they can, then we'll be fine. Mm-hmm. We have to have Samir. This is what I was saying earlier. Samir has to get right. Mm-hmm. And we go as Samir goes, not necessarily because he's our best player, because Isaac Okoro is our best player.
He's our best scorer.
He's our best scorer. He's our guy that can score when we need somebody to score, usually. And it hasn't happened in these last two games.
Well, and the thing that almost makes me feel better about these two losses, like, if we had played well and you come up 5 points short, and it's like, there's not, what do we fix? Like, they played their best, it happens, whatever. These were two, like, just ugly. Like, there is plenty to work on. Yeah. You know, like, this isn't as non-sustainable as it was early in the season.
Mm-hmm.
This is not sustainable right. either.
Well, Bruce so, just won't yeah. accept this. Yeah. This is not going to be acceptable for any of these yeah. guys. And that's the thing is, I know there's probably people mad at these players and stuff like that. Their expectations for themselves are higher than whatever expectations you yeah. have for them.
They're trying to get paid to play basketball.
Yeah. So it's...
If you think the season is over because of two losses, just please come back in March.
Yeah.
Don't
yeah.
watch any more yeah. games. We don't just really need you on Twitter.
It's fine. We'll yeah. see you. See you come March. And
this week we got South Carolina. Is that right?
South Carolina and Iowa State.
Iowa State, who took Baylor for a little bit, and then Baylor took them off.
Yeah, they did.
But
they've also dropped a game to Florida A&M.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, we're 300 Kempom.
So ooh, I would like to yeah. beat them, and I would That's like Iowa to State, beat. By the
didn't way. They beat?
Yeah, I'd like to beat South Kentucky? Carolina.
No, South Carolina or Iowa State. South Carolina, Carolina yeah, did right before oh, yeah, the Auburn yeah. game.
Sorry,
Iowa State did not beat anybody. No.
Yeah, South Carolina's on a little bit of a hot streak.
Frank Martin teams. This yeah. game will be physical.
Yeah, that's the thing is even though
Thank
South Carolina's not.
God, he's not there anymore.
Oh, Chris Silva?
Yes.
No. Here's the thing. Chris Silva, I would love to play Chris Silva with this team. This is the one team that I'm like, yeah, we actually.
He still scored 40 points on
The
us.
One thing we're able to do is play physical basketball. No. We cannot play. So, one up and down, she went yeah. three baskets.
I fully expect Austin Wiley to get 15 points just on free throws in this game.
Okay.
They are one of the worst teams at fouling free throw fouling people, sending them to the line at South Carolina.
They give up the most free throw attempts.
So their free throw attempt per field goal attempt, we've talked about that with Austin throughout this season, they're ranked 350th in the country.
Hmm.
Oof.
Yeah. That's not good.
There's like 330 teams, right?
Mm.
That's not good.
No.
Guys.
looks like they play. Yeah, they play at a quick tempo, but they don't score.
They're
top 30 in tempo, but they're sub 200 in both 3-point and 2-point percentage.
What are they doing?
They are running around. They're a really good,
getting a lot of exercise.
They're a really good offensive rebounding team. That's about it.
Great. We got.
We are a really good offensive rebounding team, too, but we're not a great defense rebounding
no,
team.
No, we got destroyed on our defensive boards yeah. this year.
We did get a lot of offensive game. Rebounds this week because we didn't make any shots.
Yeah, yeah, so, yeah that happened.
They gave Austin a nice 10 and 13 double-double, I think, against Bama.
Against Bama. Yeah. He didn't get his double-double.
No. His average against Alabama for his career is ungodly.
Yeah, he always has. This was maybe his worst game against Alabama, to be honest with you. He still had a double-double.
He's literally averaging a double-double versus Alabama. Yeah. And they're, like, pretty decent man-sized double-doubles.
Yeah.
Well, you guys want to talk a little fun times in the recruiting?
I know that's your favorite.
Well, one second.
What about Iowa State? Did we discuss them enough?
Crow's moving on.
Oh, okay.
Let me tell you the saga of a kid named Jay Hardy. We all knew signing day was a couple of weeks ago. Well, I had to look it up. Apparently it was. But
there's another one coming.
There's another one coming.
Yeah, another window.
So. And this kid, Jay Hardy, signed with Auburn in December. But he didn't want it to be a public until February. Because he wanted to have an announcement ceremony with his buddies. He literally made comments to the media that he might visit Tennessee, even though he knew he had already signed with Auburn. Then later he claimed he shut his recruitment down, but then the Tennessee coaching staff still showed up to look at him in a basketball game. He blew him off because he knew it'd be a violation, because he's literally signed with another team. Tennessee, super confused, finally decided to check the letters of intent database, only to see that his name had been posted weeks ago. Get really mad, leaked it to the media, forced Auburn and Hardy to go public. They checked it on midnight of National Signing Day. His name wasn't there, but it's apparently still an update.
This is my favorite player. This guy's my favorite player.
He's now my favorite player in the history of Auburn.
Because he did it to the biggest idiot in college sports, Jeremy Pruitt.
It's pretty unbelievable that there is a website they can go to check to see if a kid has signed. And they checked it at midnight of that day when they should have just checked it the next day.
Yeah, right.
To let everybody get their info in.
Oh, my God. Tennessee fans, you've got an idiot running your program.
I mean, of course they got mad.
Oh, sure, I'd be mad.
The funniest part was Auburn having to recruit it, like having to go public with it.
Yeah,
he signed with us. Sorry. Yeah. We just didn't tell anybody because he wanted to have a party with his teammates.
Yeah. I mean, there was. Are, we don't have Tennessee, to tell Tennessee.
Are there Tennessee fans that are mad that we didn't like tweet it out that he signed this?
No, look, probably. I have to imagine most Tennessee fans know their coach is an idiot.
Yeah.
The idea that people would be mad. Well, first of all, the idea that that is the case, that there is a kid who has signed, but he doesn't want us to tweet out that he has signed because he wants to hang out with his buddies, is a very 2020 problem. So Auburn's graphic department and everybody probably had one ready to go.
Oh yeah, ready to fire it out.
Ready to shoot out that sweet, sweet tweet and then decided, okay, let's put that one in drafts and wait. And so when they had to announce it, they already had that thing saved, posted.
Man.
But like, what a very 21st century issue. Because in the past, they would just put it in the newspaper.
Yeah, right.
You know, so...
This feels like something in the past,
he'd be on February whatever, he'd be picture of him in his school library with the rest of his friends in black and white. And
this feels like a Lane Kiffin program story. I don't know which side Kiffin would be on, but...
Well, he'd be on this keep it a secret side.
He's also kind of an idiot, too. So.
But he would love to troll somebody, especially Tennessee. Yeah.
Sure, I can
see this. Seems like, hey, yeah. Why don't you... He would tell a player this.
Lead him on. Keep leading him on. Tell him you're going to visit. Yeah. I love that he said he might visit Tennessee. He can't visit. It's a violation to visit Tennessee.
Well, here's the thing. Every other school either...
Knew.
Every other school knew!
And nobody told them.
Because every other school didn't tell Tennessee
either. Because they all know Jerry Pruitt's an idiot. They all know it. They all know
every other school knew because they check the database every day, probably.
If we have any Tennessee listeners out there, anybody with dual loyalties, please tell us. Do you actually think Jeremy Pruitt's a good coach and that the 6 wins you reeled off at the end of the season were good?
Do people have dual loyalties?
Yeah, I think so.
There's a lot of people in North Alabama that are Auburn and Tennessee fans.
Yeah, there's people.
How do they do that?
I mean, there's a lot of Kentucky Auburn people.
Oh, a ton.
What do you mean, like Kentucky football and Auburn football?
No, Kentucky basketball.
I know that. That's a very much Alabama thing, too.
It's a thing here because of the vet school. There's a ton of Kentucky students that come to the
vet
school.
That ends up being a problem every home Kentucky game.
Right? There's a lot of people whose parents were Kentucky students that came here for vet school, and then they came to Auburn, and so they grew up Kentucky and Auburn.
And it's never been a problem
now. Yeah, I've never had a problem with Kentucky fans. I have a bit of a problem with them being in the student section wearing Kentucky stuff.
Sure.
That's
stupid. But they're students, so.
But they're assholes.
Yeah.
Sure.
We have plenty of those, too.
Yeah, we have plenty of Auburn fans that when I was in college, that would cheer for other schools because, like, their granddad went there or whatever.
I'm a Miami fan.
Once I went to college, I kind of quit cheering for Florida State or whoever else I thought was cool, had cool uniforms.
Yeah.
I was big North Carolina.
That's why there's a bunch of Oregon fans nowadays.
I like North Carolina.
I was a huge Carolina basketball fan.
I mean, they had
a man named Vince Carter.
Yeah, they had cool players.
Yeah. And Rasheed Wallace.
Yeah. Vince Carter still in the NBA.
Both of them got signature shoes.
VC.
Rasheed's were Air Force Ones that, like, signature Air Force One that he got to wear every game in the NBA. They were rad.
Ryan, Rasheed Wallace was a man famous for just loving marijuana.
Rasheed Wallace might be, outside of LeBron James, the most talented basketball player to ever play in the NBA.
Isn't he a coach somewhere now?
I think maybe. But he couldn't really ever get it.
Could be coach. Could have opened up the dispensary. I don't know.
He won the finals with the Pistons. But he was so unbelievably talented at everything. In 2020, in the NBA, he's one of the 3 best players in the league. Because he could shoot threes and was 7 feet tall.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
He was a shooter at center before anybody did that. He was the man.
Rasheed Wallace is a high school coach
in
Durham.
Yeah. I remember that happened. They announced it on ESPN. And I was like, man, I'm...
Jack, you've got to go. You got to drive to Durham. You got to watch Rasheed's team play. I bet they're awesome.
Not just any high school. Jordan High School.
Ball don't lie.
Not Annette Michael, but...
Oh, are we sure?
That ball don't
Charles
lie.
Charles Jordan.
Oh. Yeah. Did you say Jordan?
I did. Michael Jordan.
So what's our... do we have any football news this week besides the recruiting?
I think we signed a long snapper.
Great.
Cool.
Yeah. Oof.
On the market for a punter.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Feels like a good time to take a break.
I would think what we should do instead is we should just, not punt.
Oh,
go to Will Hastings High School.
That would have been perfect with an Aussie punter.
Sure.
Or let
Bo Nix punt.
Like what? Yeah.
Bo Kicks.
Oh, God.
I like that, Ryan. We're going to end with that. Bo Kicks.
Bo knows.
No, Bo Kicks.